Hi, everybody. This is The Takeaway. I'm WNYC Sean Carlson in for Tanzina Vega today and tomorrow. Good to have you with us. So earlier this month, the U.S. and China announced a phase one trade deal designed to halt the 18-month-long trade war between the world's two largest economies. The full details of the plan have not been made public just yet, but officials say China has agreed to buy more agricultural products from the U.S., while the United States will scale back some tariffs on China. The partial trade deal comes at a time when farmers across the U.S. are struggling to stay afloat. Farm bankruptcies are up 24% from last year. That's the highest level the farming industry has seen since 2011. And farm debt is expected to reach a record high $416 billion in 2019. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We asked small farmers to tell us about the economic challenges they faced in 2019.
My name is Amy, and I'm a small farmer, very small farmer, in Ferndale, Washington. We have 5 acres. We raise dairy goats, few pigs, chickens, turkeys. The hardest economic part for us has been the cost of feed and the cost of fencing. 5 acres is what we have, and that's a small farm, but it's a lot of money in fencing.
We want to thank Amy for that call and say that she's not the only one. Across the U.S., dairy farming has been hit especially hard, in part due to global overproduction and the decline in American milk consumption. But retaliatory tariffs on dairy from Mexico and China have also taken a toll. The Trump administration has given billions of dollars to farmers affected by the trade war, though some Democratic senators have criticized that aid package, arguing it benefits large-scale farming operations over small ones. In fact, a study by the Environmental Working Group found that 60% of federal aid that came into New York State went to the top 10% of farmers. Joining us now is Liz Bodden. She's a dairy farmer in upstate New York, and she's co-president of the Northeast Organic Dairy Producers Alliance. Liz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So can you just give us a broad overview here of what your experience has been like as a dairy farmer over the last few years?
Oh, the last few years have been pretty rocky for dairy farmers of all stripes. We're fortunate because we've been in the organic market for almost 20 years now, and that does give or had given a much more stable pay price over the years, but that's taken a big hit in the last couple of years as well. So I've seen a lot of my neighbors go out of business. It's a kind of a sad, empty feeling out here in the country where, at least where I am, there's not a lot of other types of farms other than dairy because of our land base, basically the best land. And there's lots of good land in New York State. It's just not right here. The best land is usually row crops, and then more marginal land is usually used for livestock farming because you're grazing those fields and growing grass for hay. And that's what the land where I live is most suited for. So if it isn't dairy, it's just kind of sitting there idle.
When did you start noticing a change in dairy farming?
Well, to be honest, there's been a gradual change. You know, I'm 62 years old, you know, so I remember growing up, and I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up in an area where there were farms. So friends of mine, you know, their families made a living milking 35 or 45 cows in 1970, where they made a living for the family, sent the kids to college, and had a small family farm, and that economy worked. And we've seen a gradual decline through the farm crisis in the 80s and all that. We've seen that basically that the price that at least dairy farmers are paid for their milk has really not increased with the cost of everything else. So the economy has just moved on past, and so it's forced farmers to get bigger, to produce more, to make the money, to pay the bills. That leads to the overproduction. So it's been this huge, horrible cycle.
You know, at the risk of prying here, can you tell us how you've managed to keep your business afloat? Has it remained profitable despite all of this?
Well, I guess as a farmer, you know, you make it work because you're determined to make it work. My husband used to joke about he doesn't know how many jobs, you know, his wife is going to have to get in town to make this farm work. You know? But to be fair, since my son was born, I've worked on the farm all the time, and it hasn't been necessarily lucrative all the time. The organic market, quite frankly, was what allowed us to stay small this long because of that price differential. It made the difference of paying your bills or not paying your bills.
And of course, that's your situation. But you mentioned some of your neighbors. How have they been dealing with this?
A lot of my neighbors, quite frankly, that are milking conventionally have quit. They've just decided to quit to stop the bleeding. They could no longer financially, either they were maxed out that they couldn't borrow any more money to keep the farm going, or they just really, they were close to retirement anyways and didn't see the reason to keep going because they were losing more money. So for some of the people, it was a pretty heartbreaking thing where they quit, and it's sad to see, you know, in a small farm, people get attached to their animals. So the worst thing for a farmer is the day that the cows go, you know, little kids crying because their calves, all their animals had names. It's a pretty heartbreaking thing.
We mentioned the aid package that the Trump administration is carrying out in order to help farmers going through hard times like this. Have you seen any of those funds? And what's the impact been from where you're at?
I don't think any farmer would like a check from the government over simply being paid a fair price for their milk. That's really what it boils down to. And thank you for politicians who are paying attention that this is a difficult time for farmers. But the government can't simply write a check to cover months of indebtedness. And so that's the problem. There's the program that farmers can sign up for, and it's based on what the price of milk that month is versus the price of feedstuffs. And there's a big, long mathematical calculation as to whether you get money or not. But when you get that, at least a farm our size, it was a couple hundred dollars. So so thank you. That's nice. But it's a trip to the grocery store, not paying three payments on that combine that you're late on. You know, like it's not enough money to get people out of the bad situation that they're in.
Given everything that we've been talking about, are you optimistic about the future of dairy farming and just farming in general?
Well, I have to be optimistic. I guess if you wake up every day and set your feet on the floor and decide it's going to be a good day, then it probably will be. I have a son who wants to take over this business, and he has never wanted to do anything else in his life other than farm from the time he was just a little guy. So we're trying to make that happen. We've just built a new barn for the cows that is going to be way more comfortable and make them a whole lot happier. And we're just moving into that situation, but we are having to milk more cows to make the same money and figure out a way to do that, to do the extra work for that, for the same amount of money. So that's kind of a little crazy, I suppose.
Well, Liz, we want to congratulate you on the new barn. Liz Bodden is a dairy farmer and co-president of the Northeast Organic Dairy Producers Alliance. Liz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now we want to take a step back and look at the big picture for farmers across the country. Joining us now is John Newton. He's the chief economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Hey, John, welcome to The Takeaway.
I appreciate the opportunity.
So we were talking earlier about this report that you put out in October about farm bankruptcies. Can you give us a little bit of context about how bad farm bankruptcies were in 2019 compared to previous years?
Well, sure. And I think it's important to put into perspective, you know, farm income has fallen by about 30% from the record high farm income environment we saw in 2013 and 14. So we've been monitoring a number of farm financial indicators, and farm bankruptcies being one of them. And what we found is over the previous 12 months, farm bankruptcies across the U.S. had increased about 24%. In some parts of the country, they were at decade high levels. We had 580 Chapter 12 filings over the previous 12-month period. That's an acceleration from what we had seen in the past, but still well below the highs that we saw in the last farm financial crisis of the 80s.
The next natural question here is why?
Well, I think, as Liz pointed out, many farmers have burned through equity. We've had low commodity prices across all of agriculture for 4 or 5, and in some cases 6 years. Milk prices have been low. Corn prices have fallen by about 50%. Soybean prices fell by about 50%, and then now, face the brunt of the trade war. So a lot of farmers have burned through a lot of their capital and find themselves in a pretty tough financial situation.
And going back to what Liz was talking about earlier, and this is a constant tug of war, it feels like, in American history here in terms of small farms versus bigger ones. Are small farms getting hit harder right now than larger scale farms?
Well, I think a lot of farms are getting hit hard, regardless of size. When you lose one of your top export markets, or when you face headwinds in Canada and Mexico from retaliatory tariffs on steel and aluminum in early 2018, it hits all of agriculture pretty tough, whether you're small or large.
So when we break it down by state here, it looks like Wisconsin has the largest number of bankruptcy filings. Are those mostly dairy farms that have been going bankrupt there?
Well, we don't have the information to tell you what type of farm it is that's going bankrupt. That's going to be something that's in the case file. But given the number of dairy farms that are in Wisconsin, in New York, one has to believe that a lot of those bankruptcies are likely in the dairy business.
Why has dairy been hit particularly hard?
Well, it really goes back to, the cure for high prices. This is an old ag saying. The cure for high prices is high prices.
And right.
2014, milk prices were record high. Farmers around the country added cows. You saw tremendous growth in both conventional and organic milk production, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And so that global oversupply led to depressed milk prices. And it's taken us a long time to work through those inventories, both domestically and abroad. And that's why we've seen low milk prices. The trade war didn't help. And the African swine fever in China didn't help either. Because the Chinese bought a lot of whey products to feed the world's largest hog population. So you've had a number of factors that have combined to really roil the dairy industry.
You mentioned the trade war with China, and as we mentioned, we've reached a phase one trade deal with China to change things for U.S. farmers. Should we expect that to improve the situation in coming months for farmers?
Well, one would think. I think you look across the world, we've got a deal with Japan. That gets us on a level playing field with all the other trading partners that move forward with TPP. United States pulled out of that. You look at USMCA. We hope the Senate will get that over the finish line in the new year. And then the phase one deal with China. So you have your 3-0 on the trade front. And that should help. I mean, we need to export agricultural products. 95% of the world's population lives outside the United States. And U.S. farmers are some of the best in the world at caring for animals, raising crops, and we need access to those markets.
This might be a lot to chew in the last 30 seconds here, but if you can give us a quick answer. The Trump administration, as we mentioned, has allocated billions of dollars in aid to help farmers. Do you think it's done enough?
I've not talked to a single farmer across the country, and I travel quite a bit, that would rather have aid instead of trade. Farmers want to knock on doors around the world and sell products around the world. The Trump administration, the aid has certainly helped. Folks meet their immediate financial needs, but it's not made anyone whole. And that's why these export markets are so critical for the future of U.S. ag.
John Newton is the chief economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be part of the discussion.